It is Thursday, the day we read from your email.
Earlier this week, Melissa spoke with Jim Williams of member station KUNM about the delay in reporting the outcome of New Mexico's Democratic contest. Registered Democrats who showed up to vote on Super Tuesday had trouble finding themselves on the party's list of voters, forcing many to cast provisional ballots.
Now, it's unclear as to what percentage of the provisional ballots might have been voters who weren't on the Democratic Party list, but it does seem to have been quite a few.
And also, I gather, general chaos on voting day with huge lines, fewer polling places, a lot of confusion around that.
Yes. I mean, the party has said that they couldn't have anticipated the turnout.
Well, Barbara Grothas of Albuquerque writes, "I object to describing what happened in New Mexico on Super Tuesday as chaos. Volunteer Democrats like me spent the day making sure as many voters as possible could cast a ballot. This was not chaos. We are sorting out the provisional ballots, and the qualified, registered Democrats who voted for one candidate only will have their votes counted."
We talked with photographer David DeYoung recently about the death of one of the last remaining American veterans of World War I.
It was a different spirit in the United States 90 years ago. We've got a division now among, you know, about the conflict overseas, but 90 years ago that division could have possibly been there, but it was not publicized. So it was much more unified.
Many of you, including listener Brian Onger, wrote to remind us of opposition to the Great War. "My great uncle was born and raised a Quaker in Delaware," writes Onger. "When he was conscripted to serve in World War I, he stated his opposition to killing and was sentenced to serve time in the Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary because of his views. Not until he agreed to drive an ambulance in France was he released to serve in that capacity. This is one more perspective on the conflict."
We received a number of emails about Melissa's conversation with Eric Wilson, the author of Against Happiness, In Praise of Melancholy. Wilson says he doesn't want to romanticize clinical depression, but he does want readers to recognize that creativity and joy sometimes depend on sadness.
"I agreed with much of what Eric Wilson said about the value of living with true feelings," writes Tam Voynich of Austin. She continues, "I wonder, though, about the connection that is often made between depression and art. Did authors such as Virginia Woolf or artists such as Van Gogh create works of art because they were depressed or in spite of their depression? Thanks for a thought-provoking interview."
Finally, happiness is no stranger to a woman who had most of our staff in stitches last night, a woman who measures her stage success by the quality of the cheese plate left in her dressing room.
I have laughing cow. When you have to unwrap it. You know already, Michelle, you're not number one on somebody's list.
That's Joan Rivers talking to Michelle yesterday. There was, of course, mixed reaction to that interview. Jack Shirey of Boone, North Carolina writes, "Please, please, she is not funny. I can't believe you're stooping so low." He wrote that in all caps, by the way. But Ron Schecker of Fort Myers, Florida, agreed with Rivers that political correctness has gone too far. He says, "She is so right. Relax. I am glad that we have Joan as part of our culture. This world would be at a serious loss without her."
We welcome all your comments. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.